Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together, we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick, and apparently some people believe in talking donkeys.
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
All right, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you remember what happened last week?
Well, it was a cliffhanger.
It sure as fuck was.
We're trying to find out if there's going to be a fucking genocide.
Right?
Jesus.
Oh my goodness, it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, no, that's some crazy shit.
Yeah, so Haman is like this noble, and King Xerxes had said everybody's supposed to bow to this noble guy. And then Mordecai was like, but no, I don't want to.
Right.
And then Haman was like, well, you, King Xerxes, should kill all those people, those Jews, all of them. Not just the one that wouldn't bow, but every single one. And I'll pay you. And King Xerxes specifically said, keep the money and do with the people as you please.
Yeah.
And yeah. We were like, what?
Right. Yeah, that's insanity.
And that's how that ended.
Right. So that was Esther chapter 3.
Sure as fuck was.
And today we're going to be reading
Esther chapter 4. And I can't wait to find out what's going to happen. Okay. Esther chapter 4.
Okay.
When Mordecai, you know, the guy that wouldn't bow.
Yeah.
Learned of all that had been done. You know, all that had been done was a fucking decree that was sent out to everybody, every town, everywhere, saying, kill the Jews.
I find it interesting that he found out about a decree that's sent out to, in the future, kill all of his people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so this was, like, public knowledge?
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, just an FYI, y'all are going to die on this day.
Yeah, they set a future date. Like, that's how it ended.
You remember in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy where they had the thing posted up about the end of the end of Earth?
And it was in the sub-basement of some random building.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That was awesome.
We posted it for 5 years or whatever, however long.
5 years or whatever that we're going to be demolishing your planet to make space for
Come on.
The super space byway or whatever.
Yeah.
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 What?
So long and thanks for all the fish.
Right? Know? So anyway, when Mordecai learned what's about to happen, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. Whoa.
That's a good reenactment, yeah.
Right? That's wailing bitterly and loudly, right?
Right, sure.
But he only went as far as the king's gate because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it.
Oh.
No potato sacks here.
Apparently that was a distinguishing mark of Judaism, maybe?
Of mourning Jews, perhaps. I don't know.
All right. That'd be an interesting question to ask, because I am curious about that a little bit. Because they always put, remember we've joked about it before, like the potato sacks they put on and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are these things that they put on?
They're sackcloth. What?
Sackcloth.
It's just sackcloth. What?
Okay.
Don't you, fuck doesn't everybody have one of those for when they go into mourning?
No, I don't.
In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. I bet.
I can imagine they're going to die.
Yeah. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. I bet they did.
There it is, sackcloth and ashes.
Yeah. When Esther's eunuchs and female attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress.
No shit.
Yeah, I bet she was.
I mean, technically, he's going to have to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, if we're going by the law that's decreed here.
But I don't think the king knows yet that she's Jewish.
Right. No, obviously, because she hasn't told him. But still.
Right. So Esther sent clothes for him, Mordecai, to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them.
Mm.
Obviously. I mean, he already has clothes.
Well, I don't know. He just tore them.
Well, he did tear them. But did he tear all of them? Like,
I don't know.
He had one outfit and he tore it?
Maybe back then you only had one outfit, you know?
That's true.
I don't know.
That's true. It's not like today where you can just go get another pair of jeans from Walmart or whatever.
Right, exactly.
That's true. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why.
Okay, yeah.
So she just knows he's wailing and that he can't come in.
Right.
She has no idea that this whole thing happened.
Sure.
Okay.
And moreover, she pitched what Mordecai did to the king and told him, right? So like he should be in good standing.
Right. Mordecai should be in good standing with the king because the king was going to be assassinated.
Right.
If Esther had not revealed the plan as told to her by Mordecai.
And it said in here that she told him that, you know, Mordecai was the one that told her.
Yeah.
So.
And the king's like, psh, whatever, kill those Jews. I don't care.
Right.
Wow, what a dick.
Yeah.
So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation. Ooh, he brought receipts and screenshots.
Yeah.
Which had been published in Susa to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to instruct her, Esther, to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people.
Right.
Which makes sense.
Sure.
Right? I mean, it's networking at its finest. Right.
You got someone high up. You pull those strings.
Yeah, she's
you know?
Fucking queen.
Right.
Right? Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say this to Mordecai. All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. So she
can't go.
So she's like, how am I supposed to tell him? How am I supposed to beg on your behalf?
Right.
It's not my turn to fuck him yet.
Yeah.
You know, I got to wait to be called to fuck the king.
Right.
When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for just such a time as this.
Right.
That's fair. I mean,
I guess. But, I mean, she's got a good point also. Like,
What good
does it do if I die in the process of trying to get this cross?
He's saying it's your duty to die if that's what it takes.
Got it.
To stand up for us and not let an entire people be annihilated.
Right. But this guy, you know, either killed or banished his last queen.
Right.
Who wouldn't show up naked.
But that's what he's saying. What Mordecai's saying is, you saw what he did to the last queen.
Right.
If you don't stand up for us, that doesn't mean you're safe. You're probably going to get killed at some point, one way or another. It might as well be in defense of your people.
Sure.
You know, at least then you can be a martyr to, you know, harken back to the stories that we read. Yeah. Which I get where he's coming from. He's like, let your death be for a good cause and not just because you wouldn't be like Vashti and, you know, show up naked.
Right.
Or whatever. Right. Vashti. But she's like, I think she's raising a good point too. Like, I'm just trying to live, y'all.
Right.
I'm just trying to not get killed. And so far, I've managed to get into a really sweet position. Could you not ruin it for me?
Right. And they don't technically know I'm Jewish. So, you know.
Right.
I mean.
Right.
Just saying, sorry about your luck, but.
So I see both perspectives. I really do.
Right.
And I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do either.
Because, I mean.
It's a rough position to be in.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, if I'm the queen, right? Like, I'm in Esther's position, right? And I'm being told that my kids, my husband, my parents, my sister, you know, all of my family is about to be killed.
Right.
Do I speak up?
Right.
And what good will it do if I do? But am I an asshole if I say nothing and let them die without me at least having tried?
Is there no process? Like, what I don't understand about this, though, is that there's literally no process to request the audience of the king without being killed?
I mean, I don't
know. That seems a little absurd to me.
Well, she is just a, quote unquote, just a woman, right?
Right,
like,
right.
What would her process be?
No, none. I don't know. Technically, she's the queen, right? Because he puts the crown on her head.
But they've already established that the queen holds no power. It's
right,
the man.
Right.
So, moreover, she's living in the harem, right?
Yeah.
So she's not exactly like above any other woman.
Right. It's not like she sat next to him and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's not like they have a relationship. He fucks her now and again.
Right.
Right. Like, yep. What relationship does she have that anybody thinks that she would have the ability to talk to him at will and to lay forth, hey, can you do me a solid and not kill these people?
Yep.
So I get where she's coming from. I get where he's coming from. This is rough.
Yeah. No, it is.
So then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.
Oh, wow.
So her choice is made. She's going to appeal to God, pray, fast, do everything she can spiritually to, you know, gear up for this. She's going to do it.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
She's doing what she thinks she can do.
Yeah. Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. The end.
All right.
Oh, man. So, another
cliffhanger. Still hanging on to find out.
This is a... I don't want to say this is a great story because I don't like...
But they are leaving this in suspense.
Yes. I am eager to find out what's going to happen. But it's not a great story in that, like, we're literally talking about a genocide.
Right.
And I'm not eager about that.
Right. But the way it's being told.
Yes.
Is definitely more adept than what we are used to.
Yes.
Thus far.
Yes. And again, I'm very eager to find out what happens next chapter.
Yeah, me too. All right. So that was Esther chapter 4.
Sure as fuck was.
And we'll be back tomorrow with
Esther chapter 5 to find out what's going to happen.
We'll see you guys then.
Bye. Husband.
Wife.
Do you remember what happened yesterday?
Yeah. We still didn't find out what the fuck's going on with this fucking genocide. And and then everybody was fasting and they got to spread words and she's going to like go sacrifice herself maybe to tell the king.
Okay. Well, your explanation is like really out of hand here. let me take it back a minute. Okay.
All right.
Okay. So what happened was Mordecai's like, help, help.
Right.
And Esther's like, what you want me to do? I'm just a queen concubine fucking person. I can't do anything about it. And Mordecai's like, you could choose to stand up for your people, and if you die, you die. But even if you don't, you're probably going to die anyway, because let me clue you in. You're Jewish. And
right.
Even if you weren't Jewish, did you see what happened to the previous queen?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then, so Esther's like, you know what? You're right. Okay. If I perish, I perish. I'm going to stand up. Let's all pray for 3 days, do our fasting thing, get right with God, and then let the chips fall where they may.
Isn't that what I said?
That's what happened. That's not what you said. That's not what you said.
It's the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
All right. Well, anyway, that was Esther chapter 4.
Sure as fuck was.
And today, hopefully, we find out in
Esther chapter 5. Let's go. Okay, Esther, chapter 5.
Okay.
I'm so excited to find out. Like, are they going to tell us a thing? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Okay. On the third day, remember they were going to fast for 3 days.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So on the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace.
Oh, damn.
In front of the king's
hall. Here we go.
It's on, you guys.
Right?
She did not have the golden scepter. She was not chosen. And she's going to speak anyways.
Yeah.
Whew, I'm so nervous for her.
Right?
The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand.
Oh,
nice.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
That worked out well.
It's good that she sucks a mean dick.
I guess.
That's coming back to play here.
Right? She's lucking out here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Just the tip.
Is that what they call it?
Just the tip.
Yeah.
Let me put just the tip. Yeah. Then the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be given you."
Oh, damn.
Oh, put yourself on that, kingy.
Right?
Oh, damn. "If it pleases the king," replied Esther, "let the king, together with Haman, come today to a banquet I have prepared for him."
Okay.
"Bring Haman at once," the king said. "We about to get a dick sucked. Woo-hoo! So that we may do what Esther asks." So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared. As they were drinking wine, the king again asked Esther, "Now what is your petition? It will be given you. And what is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted."
Wow.
She...
Why don't you just ask for half the kingdom?
Right? And could the half that I have...
We're going to move all the Israelites into that section. Yeah.
Esther replied, here we go. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
"My petition and my request is this. If the king regards me with favor, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet. I will prepare for them."
The fuck?
"Then I will answer the king's question."
Why are we putting this off so long?
I don't know. It's making me nervous.
This is weird.
It's making me nervous.
Okay. It feels like she's just like procrastinating here.
Right? Like,
she's like, I don't know if I want to ask this.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Okay, Haman went out that day very happy and in high spirits. Mm. Oh, he got it good. Mm. Yeah. He got to fuck the queen.
I don't think that happened.
I think that happened.
You think so?
Yeah. But when he saw Mordecai at the king's gate and observed that he neither rose nor showed fear in his presence, he was filled with rage against Mordecai.
Man, yeah.
Yeah, I bet he was.
Yep.
Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home.
Okay.
Calling together his friends and Zeresh, his wife, Haman boasted to them about his vast wealth, his many sons, and all the ways the king had honored him, and how he had elevated him above the other nobles and officials.
Mm, yep.
"And that's not all," Haman added. "I'm the only person Queen Esther invited to accompany the king to the banquet she gave, and she has invited me along with the king tomorrow."
Yeah, he's feeling awfully special right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
"But all this gives me no satisfaction as long as I see that Jew Mordecai sitting at the king's gate."
Mm.
Oof.
Yeah. We got to kill them all because of that one guy.
Yeah. Yep. "His wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, 'Have a pole set up reaching to a height of 50 cubits and ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai impaled on it.'"
Oh my God.
That seems fun. Jesus. Then go with the king to the banquet and enjoy yourself.
Oh, they're going to kill him before the banquet?
This sounds so fun.
Oh, shit.
I love a good impaling.
Man.
This suggestion delighted Haman, and he had the pole set up. The end.
God damn it. We're even more. We still don't know what the fuck's going on.
What is happening?
This is ridiculous.
Queen Esther. Just keep
us stringing us along here.
Get your shit together, Queen Esther. You're going to get your fucking
stepdaddy guy fucking killed here.
Oh my God, I'm so nervous.
Now we have an impaling and genocide hanging in the balance.
Uh-huh.
The fuck?
Hanging in the balance. And just the tip.
Right, yeah. Just the tip. Yep. Right. All right, well, that was, this was a really short episode. I don't know what else to say, though. We're still waiting for the fucking answer.
I know. I'm waiting for the fall. What is happening?
I looked over at the time. I'm like, man, we haven't even hit 5 minutes yet.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
No, it is what it is. It's a short episode. I mean.
I tried to make it as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it was pretty dramatic. Like I said, we now have a fucking impaling and you know, a genocide hanging out there. So,
yeah.
Whatever. The queen went and talked. And now we're going to find out maybe next time.
Well, she hasn't done her ask yet, and that makes me nervous.
Right, yeah. I guess stay tuned, guys. We'll find out next time. But that was Esther Chapter 5.
Sure as fuck was.
And tomorrow we'll be back with
Esther Chapter 6.
All right, hang in there.
Husband!
Wife!
Do you remember what happened yesterday?
Yeah, so Esther touched the tip of Xerxes' scepter.
Just the tip.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then she decided she was going to, you know, hold a banquet. And then she decided she was going to hold another banquet.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still fucking trying to figure out what's going on with the goddamn genocide. And in the meantime, Mordecai is about ready to get fucking, you know, strung impaled. Up and impaled by Haman and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's about where we're at, I think.
Yeah. I think you pretty much summed it up.
Yeah. So that was Esther Chapter 5.
Sure as fuck was.
And today we're going to be reading
Esther Chapter 6.
All right, let's go do this.
Okie dokie. Okay, Esther Chapter 6.
Okay.
That night. You know what night it
that
was.
That one. It was that one.
The king could not sleep.
Because he had two good parties in a row?
Probably.
Or what?
Or because he was
maybe
bothered.
He had bed bugs.
Maybe he was. Ooh, there was a pee under his mattress.
That's what it was.
The kingy and the pee.
He had to piss, maybe.
No, that's a different kind of pee.
Oh, okay.
That's a pee pee.
Well, I was trying to think of other reasons, you know?
Okay. So he ordered the Book of the Chronicles.
Wait, what?
The Book of the Chronicles.
He ordered the Book of the Chronicles.
The record of his reign to be brought in and read to him.
Oh, he needed a night-night story.
Yeah,
oh, that's so cute.
He needed some warm
Kingy
milk.
King needed some.
Kingy King needed some warm milk. And somebody goes, rock goodbye, Kingy, in the treetop. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He needed somebody to pat his rump.
Yeah.
Turn over.
Yeah.
Help me. Pat, pat, pat.
Yeah.
Okay, go night-night. Mm-hmm. Blow me kisses.
I do it all the time where I call somebody in to read to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Happens all the time. It's called podcasts.
Would you read me story? And to read story. Oh, my goodness.
That is so funny.
You are so kingy.
But not only stories, but the stories about him.
Do you want me to read you a story about you when you were a little king? I could do this all night.
Right,
I
right. It could be like the whole fucking episode,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it really could.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, it was found recorded there that Mordecai had exposed Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway.
Dude, you already fucking knew that.
Like, I guess he didn't.
It was said that Esther told you.
Well, I guess Esther told him that, hey, these two guards are bad and they're plotting against you. But I guess it wasn't told to him. And Mordecai's the one that told me.
Okay. That's not how I took it.
That's
when
not
I
how
was
I
read.
Took it either.
But okay.
But apparently Kingy Pookins didn't know until his night-night
story.
Or he
forgot. A convenient slip of the mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who had these two guys who had conspired to assassinate King Xerxes.
Yeah.
What honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this?
Jack shit. Nothing's about to get his ass killed.
Nothing has been done for him, his attendants answered.
Right?
Duh.
Yeah.
Ooh. The king said, who is in the court? Now, Haman had just, he just got up from his sleep. He's like, now I really can't sleep. God damn it. Now, Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about impaling Mordecai on the pole he had set up for him.
Wait, he was coming to the court as the king was trying to go to sleep?
Yeah.
Seems like a bad time to show up to go to court.
Probably, but he's so excited.
He's like, really wanting to get that impaling done.
Hey, king, here, I'll be Mordecai. Hey, is the king up? Well, it turns out he is.
Yeah.
Hey, take me to see the king. Hey, king, guess what?
What do you want, hey, man?
Hey, guess what?
What?
I'm so excited. I got this stick thing.
Yeah.
I'm calling it a pole.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to put it in the ground.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna impale somebody on it.
Well, I mean, that sounds like a good deal. You know, that sounds like fun.
I'm so excited. Yeah. Guess who I'm going to impale?
Who are you impaling?
Fucking Mordecai.
Oh, hold your horses here.
Last week you said I could kill him.
I was getting my night story read to me, and I learned something, so... You're going to have to, back off this a little bit,
I think. He's Jewish, and you said I could kill them all.
But he saved me.
But Jewish.
You're pushing your luck here, hey man.
Are you saying that I'm racist and anti-Semitic?
You know that poll you were creating?
Yeah.
I think you might want to, hop up on it here in a second.
Oh, King. You're so funny. Surely you jest. Okay, anyway, I hear my wife calling, so I'm just going to... Okay, bye. Okay, so... He was about to tell the king about the pole he had set up.
Yeah.
His attendants answered the king, hey, man is standing in the court.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring him in, the king ordered.
Okay.
When Haman entered.
I bet he's going to order him to honor him or something.
He's going to make Haman bow to Mordecai and just think of the fucking irony there.
Yeah.
Right?
No, this is going to be good.
Oh, it's going to be so painful. Yep. Oof.
Mordecai's going to love this.
Mm. When Haman entered, the king asked him, so what should be done for the man the king delights to honor? Now, Haman thought to himself,
He's thinking of himself.
Who is there that the king would rather honor than me?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because I've been invited to all these banquets lately. Oh, man, the king's loving
me. He's top shit right now.
The queen sucked my cock real good. Oh, yeah, surely this is about me.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He's hinting.
Right, mm-hmm. Yep.
So, Haman answered the king, for the man the king delights to honor, have them bring a royal robe the king has worn and a horse the king has ridden. What do I want?
Well, this is some real fanboy shit here,
One with a royal crest placed on its head. Yeah, okay. That's what I want. Yeah, okay. I mean... That's what you should give. Yeah.
Right.
Then let the robe and horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes.
Uh-huh.
Let them, that noble
prince. Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be so bad.
Okay.
Let them robe the man the king delights. Oh, fuck. To honor and lead him on the horse through the city streets. Oh, my God. God, this is gonna be so painful. It's hurting me. Honestly,
I love it.
Proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. Oh, hey man, shut up! Jesus Christ, shut your fucking mouth! Oh, this is painful. Go at once, the king commanded.
But
Haman.
Keep in mind, this guy wanted to commit genocide.
Yes, I know.
I'm just saying. I am enjoying this.
Okay. It's just within the confines of this story, I'm just hey man, don't you.
Right.
Get the robe and the horse and do just as you have suggested for Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Do not neglect anything you have recommended.
Well,
boom.
Okay. I'm cool with this, edict
twist
that he's offering here, right?
Turn.
But there's still a letter out there that's saying that they're going to kill all Jews on some certain date.
Yeah.
Right? So, if we're going to be honoring a Jewish person, shouldn't we be, pulling back the
also,
thing to kill them all?
Let's not kill all the Jews now.
Right, because that would include him.
So, hurry up and invent the internet and get on social media and... like do all the Twitters and Facebookes,
yeah,
and Googles, and let everybody know.
Takesy backsies.
No killing the Jews. Got it. Okay.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So Haman got the robe and the horse. He robed Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city streets, proclaiming before him, "This is what is done for the man the king delights to honor."
Yeah, yeah. I bet he was really very enthusiastic excited. About it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I read it in that tone of voice, because right. I know that's how he did
right?
it.
Right, yeah.
Afterward, Mordecai returned to the king's gate, but Haman rushed home with his head covered in grief. Yeah, I bet he did. And told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had happened to him. "They made me be nice to him. Oh, I didn't want to be nice to him."
Right? Yeah.
"I wanted to impale him and kill him all. I didn't get to
impale him. God damn it.
His advisors and his wife Zeresh said to him, "Since Mordecai, before whom your downfall has started, is of Jewish origin, you cannot stand against him. You will surely come to ruin."
Mm.
Oh, did you guys finally get around to realizing that you probably shouldn't fuck with the Jews?
Cause... I mean, but this is going... The reason that was said is because God, right?
Yeah.
God yeah. has something to do with this, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No.
No.
This is just actions happening in a fictional story at that.
Right, right.
So, whatever. But okay.
Right. While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried Haman away to the banquet Esther had prepared. The end.
We still don't know the outcome of the genocide, though.
Or of Esther.
Even though they honored Mordecai.
Yeah.
Like, we still there don't know.
There could still be a genocide.
I mean, technically, because it's still out there.
I mean, we know that there's not going to be.
Right, right.
Technically, if we didn't know how things turned out.
Right.
There could be.
Yeah.
So right,
for sure.
What's going to happen?
I mean, I don't know. It's still, I mean, it was good. They gave us one little bit here, but they didn't finalize
it's like,
it.
It's like, so. This is the midpoint, the false victory.
This has been, I mean, this is really good. Like, yeah. We keep having these like cliffhanger type thing. This wasn't as cliffhangerish because we had a resolution of something.
But,
you know, and it was a good resolution.
But there's an overlying arc
right.
that's still unfolding.
Right, right, yeah.
And that's cool.
Because we still have to have the banquet, and Esther's mm-hmm. still got to save the day somehow.
Somehow. I don't know what the fuck. She may die.
But the king's going to be a lot more receptive now because he's like, Mordecai's a Jew.
Yeah.
And he saved my ass. So, yeah. Like, yeah, let's not kill them all.
And you know what? This one sucks a mean dick.
Okay. So on that note, that was Esther chapter 6.
Sure as fuck was.
And tomorrow we'll be back with
Esther chapter 7.
All right, guys. We'll see you then.
Yep. Bye. Husband.
Wife.
Do you remember what happened yesterday?
Yeah. The King Yipu had a night story. And he got found out that Mordecai saved his ass from the assassins.
What a nice story for him to read.
Yeah, and then Haman. He had to, escort Mordecai down the street to celebrate how awesome he was.
Mm-hmm.
But really, Haman wanted to, like, put him up on a pole and impale him.
Yeah.
And then that didn't happen because,
Opposite.
Yeah. So, but we're still left with genocide hanging in the balance.
Right.
Because we don't know the outcome of that, and there's a banquet yet to happen.
I know. I was going to say he's still trying to figure out what's going to happen at Esther's party.
Right? Yeah. So that's where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. And that was Esther chapter 6.
Sure as fuck was.
And today we're going to be reading
Esther chapter 7.
Let's go do this.
Okie dokie.
Oh, hey, we forgot to mention something in the intro.
What did we forget?
Well, we meant to do a Patreon shout out, and then I completely botched the shout out.
You did.
Yeah. So we have a new patron supporting us.
No way.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Their name's Faye.
Faye, thank you.
Or they said we could call him I Heart Anakin.
Okay.
So, I mean.
Anakin lover, you.
Right, yeah.
You are awesome, and we so appreciate you. Thank you, Faye.
Definitely. So, that's an amazing thing, and we love it when we get new patrons, because it really helps us out. I mean, we have so many things going on right now in our life and in our podcast and just everywhere that all of it helps us tremendously.
It really does.
And the more people we have helping, the more it helps in general. So, it's you know, true. And it, every true. Little bit helps, honestly.
Yes. So thank you, Faye.
Thank we you really so much. If anybody you. Else would like to become a patron, you probably already know this by now, but you just go hop over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. We have levels starting as low as $2 a month, and any level that you sign up for at Patreon with us will get you ad-free content for our podcast that we release these days, and it will also get you early access and special episodes for any level.
Yep. The special episodes are fun, too. Get to know us a little bit better, and you also get less structured stuff that's just us riffing and commenting.
Yeah, yeah. So that being said, let's go ahead and start reading Esther chapter 7.
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay, Esther chapter 7. Oh, something's going to happen to Haman.
Oh.
Ooh, I really want to read this headline, but I'm not going to.
Ooh. I'm assuming we'll find out.
It's a spoiler.
Yeah, that's why we're not reading that,
I know, but I saw it and I was like, ooh. Okay, so the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet, and as they were drinking wine on the second day, ooh, that's a long-ass banquet.
Yeah.
2 days?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, the king again asked Queen Esther.
What the fuck's up? Why are we doing this?
What is your petition? Right. Remember you touched my
scepter.
My scepter, just the tip.
Yeah.
And I gave you permission.
And then you drew this out over 2 days.
Yeah, what and fuck? I was like, up to half the kingdom is yours. Anything you ask.
Yeah.
So what's your request?
Stop fucking around. Let's find out what you need.
Oh, and then he says it again. Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted.
Mm, yeah.
And this is not the first time I've asked you this.
Yeah.
So then Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favor with you, your majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet, because no such distress would justify disturbing the king."
Yeah, it's, slavery, that's minor.
It's fine to be it's the
no
king.
Big, no big oh, deal. Just slavery.
Right?
Yeah.
King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, "Who is he? Where is he? The man who has dared to do such a thing."
Well, since you mentioned.
Esther said, "An adversary and enemy, this vile Haman."
Oh.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Yeah, he was. The king got up in a rage. You're mad? You literally gave him permission.
Yeah, you just said you were like cool with genocide yesterday.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden now, because your queen's like...
calling you out.
Right. You're like, no.
How dare? I would never.
Moreover, you didn't even know that your fucking wife was Jewish until now.
Right.
You know, you could be mad that your wife hasn't told you that she's Jewish until now. I'm just saying.
Right.
I'm not saying that it would be correct or right.
But just putting it out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, certainly, okay. I'm not trying to defend a genocidal maniac, right?
No.
But at the same time... the king was on board with this guy.
Yeah.
Like 2 or 3 days ago.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, yeah, and I don't even want your money. Just go kill him.
Yeah, go ahead. Genocide's awesome.
So, like, just because his wife fucking says, "I'm Jewish and you're going to kill me." I mean, you were part of that fucking plan, you dumbass. You're the one that has your name on the goddamn paper.
Yeah, I was actually really shocked. Well, first I was shocked when he said, yeah, go ahead, kill him, keep the money.
Right.
Put the order out in my name. Okay, that was shocking. And now, I was shocked that the queen called out Haman as the one instead of you, husband.
Right.
Like, oh, shit. Okay, let's continue and see what happens.
Sure.
She's smart, though.
She's giving him an out.
Yeah.
You know, because the king is the final word.
Yeah.
So she can't, you know, punish the king.
She can't say, "King, you suck."
So even though the king signed the edict and everything, she has to blame it on somebody else.
Right. Right. So. That is pretty smart. The king got up in a rage, left his wine, and went out into the palace garden. But Haman realizing that the king had already decided his fate, stayed behind to beg Queen Esther for his life.
I mean,
just because I was going to kill you and every single other Jew doesn't mean you have to kill me. Cool. That's not fair.
Right.
Just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining. The king exclaimed, "Will he even molest the queen while she is with me in the house?"
Wow.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
That just got spicy.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face.
Oh.
Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, "A pole reaching to a height of 50 cubits stands by Haman's house." He had set it up for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king.
Wow, this guy is going down so hard.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's
this
like,
is not good, man.
Throwing him under the bus hard.
You are fucked.
The king said, "Impale him on it, as you do." So they impaled Haman on the pole and set it for Mordecai. Know,
there you go.
Then the king's fury subsided. The end.
Right.
Ooh, wow. I don't even. that went direction.
The moral of the story, folks, is that murder solves all problems.
It does.
Apparently.
Impalings, if you can.
Yeah, impalings. They're 50-foot poles. Mm-hmm. Impalings mm-hmm. on 50. Like, that's the logistics of that, though, right?
How did you even get them up there?
Maybe they had it, like, stationed. Maybe they, like, you know, anchored it next to the, like, castle wall.
Okay.
And then, like, and took it up on the castle and then, like, dropped him on top of it.
They dropped him from above and were like, boom.
Right, right.
Oh, gross.
It would really, I mean, 50 feet. What if they fucking missed, you know?
Drag him back up there.
Right, one more time, guys. Let's try this again.
Which one is heavier, a pound of bowling balls or a pound of feathers? A dead body is what?
We shouldn't be laughing at murder, but Jesus.
Yeah, my how things have turned. Like, I was thinking the other day about how when a lot of the molestation and just the grotesque murdery junk, like, when we first got into the Bible, it was so shocking to us, and we were like, oh my God, I can't with this, and now we just laugh it off.
Well, but there's been less rape.
Yeah.
There's been less bad things happening to women, and you know what I mean? Like, and it's
mentioned.
Not...
Mentioned. Less of it
mentioned. Less of it mentioned, yes. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. That was bad phrasing on my part, but... I feel like they're kind of getting into more justified revenge, you know?
Okay.
Like, and
karma.
And like the story has drawn us into it to like mm-hmm. be like, yeah, okay. I mean, he was going to go for genocide and he was going to kill Mordecai, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I can empathize with Haman a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but genocide.
Yeah.
You know? So like, I can't feel too much, you know, pain here.
No.
Like, he was literally going to kill an entire people
right.
because he was annoyed with one guy.
Yeah.
Hypothetically.
But I mean, this is the same book that pushes a story where if you call the guy Baldy, Baldy.
Right. You get mauled by bears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
right.
I mean.
No, yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. But to be fair, you know, this is more like a collection of short stories.
Right.
Because they are different writers. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all written at different times. And this story is overall better than, you know, other stories in the Bible thus far.
It really is. Because I'm still curious, like, how... We got 3 more chapters of this book, you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what the hell's going to happen?
Right, right. All right. Well, that was Esther chapter 7.
Sure as fuck was.
And tomorrow we will be back with...
Esther chapter 8.
We'll see you then.
Bye. Husband!
Wife!
Do you remember what happened yesterday?
Haman's dead.
Yay.
He kind of got impaled, I think.
I think he got impaled.
Yeah, that was after the banquet where, you know, the queen, Esther. Jesus, can't think of her name.
The Book of?
Yeah, the Book of. She held the banquet for the king and Haman. But, mm-hmm. You know, then she told King, hey, you know, this guy's an asshole. King's like, you're fucked.
And
then he was.
And then Haman got...
Not in a good way.
Impaled on the same... pole he had set up to actually impale Mordecai.
Yeah, yeah.
In a twist of fate.
Right, right. So that was Esther chapter 7.
Sure as fuck was.
And, oh, couple things real quick here.
Okay.
First thing is that we are sorry.
Ooh, yeah, we are so sorry.
So we're in the middle of moving right now, and it's not as easy as we thought it would be. So we are woefully behind on shit.
Everything.
Yeah, so, everything. I mean, we're still on the right day so far.
Mm-hmm.
But we're sorry today, and we're sorry for any future todays that happen.
Like tomorrow.
Like tomorrow.
Tomorrow we'll be late.
Maybe the next day.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We have the best of intentions, and we will get the episodes out. They just won't be at the regularly scheduled times. Right.
We'll probably get them out on the right days, maybe.
Yeah.
Or at least close to the right day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. But, yeah. But
we're making a valiant effort here, guys.
This move is going to kill us.
Oh, I hate moving. Things I don't hate, though. We have a new patron. Yeah.
In the middle of our move, we get a new patron?
Right. Couldn't have come at a better time, right?
Wow.
So their name is Dion.
Dion, thank you.
I hope I say that right.
Well, thank you.
And we've been picking up patrons here a little bit, like, more often than we've picked up a few in the last week or two.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we've got another shout out to do, I think, tomorrow.
Really?
Maybe. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But Dion,
thank you so much for your support. It means the world, and, I mean, every bit helps. I know we say this all the time, but it all adds up to helping us run this podcast and do what we can do and honestly keep it afloat, because, I mean, we wouldn't be doing this without you, really.
No, it's true, because right now, with the move and everything, our finances are stretched so fucking thin that y'all are keeping the podcast afloat, literally.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, right.
So, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a ton. All right. Well, that being said, so let's now get into...
Esther, chapter 8.
All right.
Okay, Esther, chapter 8.
Okay.
That same day. The day that...
That Haman died?
That Mordecai didn't.
Yeah, yeah, that day.
Yeah. King Xerxes gave Queen Esther the estate of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. God damn, it just keeps coming.
Yeah.
I mean, if Haman wasn't such a dick, I'd feel sorry for him.
So wait, not only did Haman die, but his whole family's now, like, homeless, or at least under the care of Esther at some level or something?
Uh-huh.
Interesting. Okay.
And Mordecai came into the presence of the king. For Esther had told how he was related to her. She's like, oh, by the way, I'm Jewish.
Right,
I don't know if you knew, but I am.
Okay, all right. And he's good with it, I guess.
I guess. The king took off his signet ring, which he had reclaimed from Haman, and presented it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed him over Haman's estate. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's some kismet. That's some karma right there.
Right, right.
Esther again pleaded with the king, falling at his feet and weeping. She begged him to put an end to the evil plan of Haman the Agagite, which he had devised against the Jews.
Wait, that's still hanging over?
That's still hanging over.
We just killed the guy, but that's still hanging out there.
He put out a decree. He didn't, like, rescind it. It's not like
a
Facebook post where you could just delete it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So she's like, okay, thank you for all that. Appreciate the house. That's awesome. You killed Haman. Sweet.
Can you not kill us now?
Could we not do a genocide?
Right. Genocide's bad.
I'm just asking. Like, could we not genocide?
Yeah.
Me and us.
Yeah.
I would appreciate it.
My stepdad type person.
Right. I would like to live.
Right.
And I would also like my family. I mean, if it's okay with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your Majesty.
Right.
Okay. Then the king extended the gold scepter to Esther. And she arose and stood before him.
Mm.
Remember, she...
Did she just touch the tip this time?
Just touches the tip.
Okay.
Just the tip.
All right.
If it pleases the king, she said, and if he regards me with favor and thinks it the right thing to do, comma, and if he is pleased with me, comma, let an order be written overruling the dispatches that Haman, son of Hammedatha the Agagite devised and wrote to destroy the Jews and all the king's provinces, all the king's horses, and imagine, all the king's men.
Like, you're groveling. You're groveling.
Please don't
to kill not have him us. Kill your kin.
Yeah. Please.
That's, I mean.
Please.
I don't feel like I could muster that kind of, I don't know. I would be mad.
Right.
You know, like I wouldn't be. I guess you do what you got to do, but man, that's a rough pill to swallow.
Right? Yeah. She continued, "For how can I bear to see disaster fall on my people?
Right.
How can I bear to see the destruction of my family?"
Mm-hmm.
She's saying it so much kinder than
yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
It would make me so fucking sad if, like, my family died, and as well as every relative. That would make me super sad-o.
Right.
Could you just maybe not?
Right, right.
King Xerxes replied to Queen Esther and to Mordecai the Jew, "Because Haman attacked the Jews, I have given his estate to Esther, and they have impaled him on the pole he set up.
Right.
Now write another decree in the king's name, in behalf of the Jews, as seems best to you." You know, write whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
"And seal it with the king's signet ring."
You know? Sounds to me like he doesn't really give a fuck what's going out of his estate as far as decrees and whatever.
No. And it also sounds like he don't give a fuck about the Jews one way or the other.
Right. He's just like, honestly. Oh, I kind of like you. You do whatever, man.
You saved my life.
I don't like you anymore, so you do whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like, whatever. Yeah. Just do something, man.
Everybody just, you're bothering me.
Yeah.
When's the next banquet?
Right.
"For no document," he continued, "written in the king's name and sealed with his ring can be revoked."
Well,
except for I'm revoking
it. Right, yeah.
So I just lied.
Yeah.
But I'm a king, and kings don't lie.
Right.
So I'm just saying, do a thing.
Yeah.
Like, call it whatever you want, but just take care of it. Here's my ring.
Maybe the last one wasn't sealed with his ring?
I thought it was.
Oh, but it was definitely in his name. They definitely said it was written, you know, his name was on it.
Yeah.
So.
I'm pretty sure. "At once the royal secretaries were summoned on the 23rd day of the third month, the month of Sivan. They wrote out all Mordecai's orders to the Jews and to the satraps, the governors, the nobles of the 127 provinces stretching from India to Kush."
India to Kush. Wow.
That's a
big territory.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
They were all kinds of spread out.
Right.
"These orders were written in the script of each province." Oh, that's kind of cool. "And the language of each people, and also to the Jews in their own script and language."
Hmm.
I forgot that they did that.
Yeah.
Because each group was able to maintain its own lifestyle and way of living and
right,
culture.
Right.
That's cool. "Mordecai wrote in the name of King Xerxes, sealed the dispatches with a king's signet ring, and sent them by mounted couriers who rode fast horses, especially bred for the king."
Oh, wow.
He had special
horses.
Yeah,
he doesn't have them slow horses. He's got the fast ones.
He's got only fast horses for this king.
Yeah.
The king's, you know what? I'm going to go so far as to say this is the first time that they've mentioned specially bred horses for a king.
Yeah.
Solomon didn't have these horses.
Right, yeah.
David didn't have horses like that.
Right.
And they were like the richest motherfuckers on the planet or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
Right.
"The king's edict granted the Jews in every city the right to assemble and protect themselves, to destroy, kill, and annihilate the armed men of any nationality or province who might attack them and their women and children."
Oh, wow.
"And to plunder the property of their enemies."
Oh.
God damn.
Man.
"The day appointed for the Jews to do this in all the provinces of King Xerxes was the 13th day of the 12th month."
Wait.
"The month of Adar."
The day that they can kill other people for invading them?
Uh-huh.
Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
The day that everybody is set to go kill the Jews, the king is saying, on this day, you are free to defend yourself in any way you see fit.
I mean, if they're there to kill me, I'm going to do that anyway.
But thank you, sir. Much appreciation that I ain't going to get axed for it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
A copy of the text of the edict was to be issued as law in every province and made known to the people of every nationality, so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies.
I just imagine, like, these people out in these provinces that got the last letter,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, a few weeks back or whatever, mm-hmm. getting the new one, like, God damn it. The right? fuck, man? We were getting ready to kill all these people. Now we've got to scrap all those plans. I mean, we sharpened all those fucking axes.
I
was going to say, you know?
I spent so much money on weaponry. I was really looking forward to this party. I bought new shoes.
Right? Yeah.
Like, I buffed up my body bathing skills.
Sure.
Because, you know, I don't wash myself good that often. But this called for a special cleansing.
Right, right.
I mean, I spent so much fucking money on this.
And, yeah.
And I was planning a party for after.
Right. Yeah.
The couriers riding on the royal horses went out, spurred on by the king's command. That king told them to go fast, and those horses went fast. And the edict was issued in the citadel of Susa.
Oh, thank goodness. Man, right? That was a close one.
I was wondering.
Yeah, I wasn't, but...
When Mordecai left the king's presence, he was wearing royal garments of blue and white, a large crown of gold, and a purple robe of fine linen.
Mm.
And the city of Susa held a joyous celebration. For the Jews, it was a time of happiness and joy, gladness and honor.
Well, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. In every province and in every city to which the edict of the king came, there was joy and gladness among the Jews, with feasting and celebrating. And many people of other nationalities became Jews because fear of the Jews had seized them. The end.
Wait, I thought other people couldn't become Jews.
They just did.
Okay.
Maybe they married in.
Maybe.
I don't really know what that means.
I don't know how that works.
And why were they afraid of them?
Because they're not allowed to commingle, remember?
Yeah.
And we just covered that the last book.
Right. But if they convert, because remember, like, the when they were like, stop commingling, and if you don't stop commingling, then you gotta leave, and they kicked the women's out.
Okay, all right.
And remember, but the ones that converted, they were like, okay, you could stay, you're Jewish now.
Right, right.
Okay. You just have to be Jewish.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta pray, eat, play, work, do all the things Jewish.
Right, got it.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? I would hate to be in one of the provinces where the courier got, like, killed along the way.
Seriously?
What if the message never made it to a certain province?
Right.
And all the Jewish people died anyway. That would suck.
I wonder about that.
Right? Because you're relying on a horse and a guy.
One horse and a piece of paper. But it's a fast horse, though.
It doesn't stop him from getting killed still.
It's the king's horse.
Right,
it's
but
so
what's
fast.
A king's horse going to do against a bow and arrow?
It's so fast.
I'm just saying.
It's specially bred for these occasions.
Okay.
Right. I'm just reading what the Bible said.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right, well, was that it?
That was it. That was the end.
So that was Esther chapter 8.
Sure as fuck was.
And we'll be back tomorrow at some point.
With Q&A. Saturday. Sorry, and I'm then, all fucked up.
Oh, you're good. And then on Sunday, we're going to try to get out a...
Patreon one.
Right. And then on Monday, we'll be back with...
Esther, chapter 9.
All right, guys. We'll see you then.
Yep. Bye. Husband?
Wife.
Is that how we do this? Hi.
Hi, we're back.
It's been a minute.
It has. We've been moving.
We have.
That sucks.
Like a half hour away across the city. And
might as well be a fucking continent away.
Yeah, it feels like it.
And this was just, this sucked.
This sucked, y'all. As one friend put it, moving sucks sweaty baboon balls. And I was like, all the sweat, all the balls, all the baboons.
But hey, we're here.
We're here.
We're in our new place.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, mostly, sort of, kind of, we can, yeah, we still got some stuff to do.
Yeah.
That being said, we probably are going to be regular again, but.
Like a menstrual cycle.
Right. Yeah, sure. Why not? but we also might have like a day or two here or there where we might falter. Because we still have a lot of fucking crap to do.
We have a lot to do, and we're not currently even set up correctly. Like, this is right. All slapdash, like...
Yeah, we're doing this in our dining room right now.
It's been a week, and we got to get back on this.
Yeah.
And so we just threw it all together real quick. So apologies for being gone a week, and apologies in advance for any days that we missed coming up. Yeah,
and also, I just want to say this real quick, because... while we took our break, we picked up two new patrons. That like, I mean,
makes we're no like, sense.
Holy shit, thank you so much.
That makes
and,
no sense.
And your and actual thank individual you. Shout-outs will be coming when we get settled in and everything. And I think we still had one from before that we needed to do, too.
So we have three shout-outs so
we have three shout-outs that we still have to do. But, like, we took a break, and you guys joined as patrons, like, I don't even have words for that. That's fucking amazing.
It makes no sense, and I'm so grateful.
And yeah, like, we were like, holy crap, this is amazing.
Like, we thought that y'all were going to be so mad at us, and we were like, sorry, sorry.
Right, yeah.
And instead we got, like, I don't want to say rewarded, but, like, cheered on.
Yeah.
You know? So it was like,
I mean, yes! It felt really good, guys. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
We already missed you and couldn't wait to get back to doing this, but that made it all the sweeter.
Right.
Like we feel the love obligation, you know, right. To come back and keep you going.
If anything, the reason we're back so soon is because of y'all.
It's true.
Because we love doing this and we love hearing from you and we love you guys.
We like, do.
You guys are awesome.
We do. You guys are the best.
Speaking of what we're doing, today we are doing what?
It's kind of a Q&A over the chapters we've done with Esther, which I don't even know if you remember what happened in the book of Esther.
Barely at this point. But I remember that she saved the Jewish people from being exterminated,
yes,
basically.
Yes. We stopped at chapter 8. So
you forgot to sing the song. Today is Saturday.
Today is Q&A Saturday, it's on a Sunday and we're a week late.
No, that's right. Today's not a Saturday. I forgot. Fuck, we're a day late.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's supposed to be like a Saturday Q&A. Yeah. Whatever.
Shut up.
It's a thing.
Shut up.
Sorry.
You're dumb.
Whatever.
So anyways, I'm going to tell you a story and it's going to help you kind of refresh your memory of what happened, but in a different way.
Once we get into it, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be great.
All right. Well, let's go get into this then.
Let's go.
Okay. So we are getting ready to get into this. But before we do, I do want to cover this. We are not going to be doing a Patreon episode this week or a book club. So, but we will get back into that the following weekend with hopefully a Patreon episode because that's the one that we're next up to do.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, though, I will be releasing the weekly for today's episode and the 4 through 8 here today at some point, too.
So basically, it'll cover a 2-week period.
Right. We're just trying to get back on track. So, yeah. Like, this is us getting back on track.
Just bear with us, guys.
Yeah, we'll get there eventually.
And if you're
sooner,
listening
hopefully,
to
then
these...
later.
If you're listening to these like way later, nothing.
Yeah, I just forget we said
nothing.
Anything. No, it's all good.
Yep. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I don't. Okay. So anyway,
this is all in order. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So anyway.
Yeah.
Do you remember we were talking about Esther and she had begged her king husbandy guy, oh, please don't kill all the Jews. And,
right.
And then so all that stuff happened, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to step back a minute.
We're stepping back.
We're stepping back. Take
way
it back.
Back. Way
yeah,
back.
Yeah.
Okay. Stepping back.
Okay. I was trying to find some good, interesting stuff to cover for chapters 4 through 8.
So obviously you weren't reading the Bible.
Right. Exactly. Inadvertently, though, I came across some interesting studies of the book of Esther.
Really? Okay.
Yes. And... in various midrash, which apparently the plural of that is midrashim.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Learned a new word. Mm-hmm. They tell some additional bits that are not included.
I kind of love the Jewish people.
I do.
They've got so much lore and stories
and they,
revolving around the Old Testament and the Torah.
They'll take a story and they'll study it and then they'll be like, and probably that happened. Like
you could just get lost in their lore. It's true. You know, it's so it's cool. True.
So this study that I read took a bunch of different Midrashim.
Yeah.
Story stuff about Esther.
Story stuff.
Story stuff.
Is that a technical term?
It really is. Okay. That's what lore is. Story stuff.
Story stuff. Got it.
Yeah. And they put it all together.
Okay. Yeah.
And so this will help both refresh our memory as well as be like, wait, I don't recall that happening.
Because we didn't read it.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Esther was a foundling or an orphan.
Okay.
Her father had died before her birth.
Yeah.
And her mother died at her birth.
Right.
I don't necessarily recall those details. Yeah.
Right.
She was reared in the house of Mordecai, her cousin, to whom, according to some accounts, she was even married.
Oh.
Yes.
Interesting.
Right? Like, that definitely was not
covered. Adds a whole new layer to the conversation.
Don't it, though? Don't it, though? Okay. So her original name was Hadassah, which can mean star or the plant myrtle.
Okay.
Neither of which are even closely related.
Right.
We're going to get into those a little bit later. But think of star, not myrtle so much. Okay. And those are supposed to reflect her sweet character and the comeliness of her personage.
Got it.
Comeliness being her beauty.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So here we go. Ready?
I'm ready.
Her appearance among the candidates for the queen's vacant place. Remember, Vashti was given the boot.
Yeah, they axed her.
Yeah, because she would not come forward and show her wares.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So that whole thing when, what's her name? Esther. When Esther shows up during this, that caused a complete commotion.
Oh.
Because she was
beautiful.
Fucking fool.
Got it.
Yeah.
So like there was like not even a comparison.
Yeah.
Got it.
They all felt that with her charms, none could compete.
Got it.
So
that's why
like,
she immediately received extra care from the guy.
I'm getting there in a minute.
Okay.
Getting there in a minute.
My bad.
Her rivals were hastened to try to adorn her, but not to make her pretty. They were like trying to like down her beauty some. Like they wanted to neg her, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like anyway. She was so beautiful that they were like, fuck me. How am I supposed to compete with this bitch over here?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But she spurned all the usual resources for enhancing beauty. So much so that the keeper of the harem became alarmed because he didn't want to be accused of neglecting her.
Ah.
And so that's why he showered her with attention and placed her at the disposal of so many riches that were never given to others.
Got it.
Not because she was beautiful and he wanted to help, but because she was like, I don't want any of this shit.
Got it.
But if he didn't help give her stuff, then he could get in trouble for not giving her stuff.
Sure.
So they were at odds with each other.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So she would not be tempted to use the king's goods or to eat the king's food or mess with any of the king's stuff because she was a faithful Jew.
Got it.
Okay. So she was like, none of this, none of that. Fuck these, fuck those.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, together with her maids, and there were seven of them according to the number of the weekdays and of the planets.
Oh.
Okay.
So only seven planets?
Mm-hmm.
And that's some science for you.
Well, the ones that they could see with the naked eye or with whatever.
Sure.
They could, you know, cobble together.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so she continued to live in a modest mode. Okay. She was like, I'm not going to do all this extra.
Yeah.
Okay. When her turn came to be ushered into the king's royal presence.
Yeah.
Median and Persian women flanked her on both sides.
Okay.
Okay. But her beauty was such that the decision was in her favor immediately. Her place was assured.
Got it.
Because she, even though she was surrounded by all these other women done up with makeup,
out from them all.
She outshone them.
Got it.
Okay. Now, the king had been in the habit of comparing the charms of the applicants with a picture of Vashti suspended over his couch. He was like, you, nope. You, nope. You, nope. Right. Fail, fail,
right,
fail.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Up to the time when Esther approached him, none had eclipsed the beauty of his beheaded spouse.
Got it.
Okay?
Yeah.
But at the sight of Esther, he at once removed the picture of Vashti.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. He was like, damn. Oh, you the one.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah. And probably commissioned a new picture for above his couch because you got to have something. I would imagine.
You got to whack off to something, right? So, yeah. That I don't recall that being in the Bible either. But that's a fun story, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. So, now remember, Mordecai had kept coming daily to check on her, right? Make sure she's okay. And also to make sure that he's like, don't forget. Don't tell him you're Jewish.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, his daily visits to the courtyard are for the purpose of ascertaining whether or not Esther was remaining true to their religion.
Oh.
Was she still being a faithful Jew? Was she still eating the correct foods and wearing the correct clothing?
But what's he going to do about it if she's not?
Be very angry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
He's like, don't tell him you're a Jew, but still be Jewish.
Right.
Don't eat their food, but don't tell them why you're not eating their food. Don't dress in their clothes, still dress Jewish, but don't tell them that you're Jewish.
Right.
Right? Like, that's basically what I'm getting out of this. But she had not eaten any of their forbidden food, and she preferred a diet of vegetables, and she was otherwise scrupulously.
How's that again?
Scrupulously. Yeah. Obedient of all capital letters, the law.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's a good Jew girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's a very good girl.
She did a good job.
Then came the crisis.
The crisis. Okay.
Okay. You remember the crisis, right?
Yeah. Is this where
Mordecai wouldn't bow?
Oh yeah, that Haman. Crisis. Sorry, yeah. I was trying to remember which crisis. So.
I know there's so many.
Yeah.
Okay. So in this story, it wasn't necessarily his refusal to bow to Haman so much as it was his refusal to bow to the image of an idol that Haman ostentatiously displayed on his breast.
Oh.
So he had an idol on him. And was like, everybody bow to the idol.
Being Jewish, you can't worship an idol. So
yeah, so he was like,
he wasn't being holier than thou. He was just adhering to his religion. I
literally can't.
I guess he was being holier than thou, but I mean, you know.
But I mean, he lived his life by these rules. He wasn't just being cherry picking.
No, he was staying true to who he was as a Jewish man.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So you know when Haman got offended, and then he was like, hey, king, let's kill them all. I'll pay you. And the king was like, keep the money. Go ahead and kill them.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So then Mordecai appeared in his mourning garments. Not like mourning like the sun rises, but mourning. Like grieving.
Yeah.
Okay. And Esther saw this, and frightened, she gave birth to a stillborn child.
What?
Where did that come from? I don't know.
What? Okay. All right.
So that was in the story, apparently.
I
missed that bit.
Stillborn child. Okay.
Yeah. Got it. Because she's like, whoa, uncle, husband, daddy is.
That just happens all the time, right? People just give birth to stillborn children.
Yeah.
Out of the blue.
Uncle, cousin, daddy, husband is dressed in mourning. And so I'm like, oh, shit. Freaked out so much that I give birth. What? I don't know.
That makes no sense.
No, not at all. So to avoid gossip, she sent Hatach, her
person. Yeah.
Her person.
Yeah.
Instead of going herself to ascertain the cause of the trouble. But remember, Hatach was met by Haman and he was slain. Do you remember that?
No.
That happened. Okay. But he was not slain before Mordecai was able to tell Hatach his dream.
Oh.
He had a dream.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
His dream was that Esther would be the little stream of water separating two fighting monsters. And the stream would grow to be a large river flooding the earth. A dream which he had often related to Esther in youth.
Okay.
In her youth.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why that was part of the story. We never hear about it again.
Oh.
But okay. That apparently was part of the story that was not in the part we read.
Got it. Yeah, okay? Right.
So, Mordecai called upon Esther to pray for her people and to then intercede with the king.
Sure.
And you recall that she was like, but I'll die though, because you have to be called, and I haven't been called.
The tip of the scepter and all that shit.
And he's like, don't be thinking you're safe just because you're the queen.
Right.
You're still Jewish. And look what happened to Vashti, whom he loved and was beautiful.
Right.
Like, you're not safe.
Yeah.
And so then she was like, okay, fine, I will do this. And if I die, I die. But at her request, all the Jews observed a rigid fast. Now, what we didn't realize, it did say so, but we didn't put two and two together. She requested this fast during one of their feasting celebrations.
Oh, so yeah. This was like, okay.
The fast was a big deal.
Got it.
Because
they were fasting during a celebration.
Yes.
Got it.
And so it was like, it was almost like she was like, fine, I'll do this. I'll make this big risk, but you got to take a risk with God.
Sure.
By fasting and praying, rather than by celebrating your faith and doing what you're supposed to be doing religiously.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So it's like she like counter-challenged him.
Hmm.
And so he did this.
Okay.
He prayed and he summoned even the children and obliged even them to abstain from food so that the cries of the children could be heard throughout the village.
Gotcha.
Because they were all so hungry.
Right.
And I mean, imagine like they had just prepared this big feast and now they got a fast.
Yeah.
They can't eat any of it.
I suppose you don't have a lot of ways to protest that were effective back then, you know?
Right. So. Right.
Ones that don't get you in, like, because you can't like go up and march on the gates of the castle. Yeah. They'll just fucking kill you.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know.
So this is what they did.
Right.
And what I find amazing is that, but they did it.
Right.
They did. They put aside their religion and had faith in this other thing that was also part of their religion.
Now, let's just caveat that a little bit, because they did it insofar as this is also a,
right.
from all accounts that we are aware of, mm-hmm. a fictional story.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. So. Yeah, yeah. But within the confines of this story,
sure.
It's amazing that the Jewish people put aside their religious festivity and instead fasted and prayed.
Yeah.
For
in
them
this fictional
to not,
story, these yes. fictional people were amazing.
But but it does speak to the higher faith of the Jewish people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. I get it. It's a story to show what they stand for and what they are willing to do.
Even in the face of death, certain death.
Right.
They still stand firm to their faith
yeah.
in God, that God will somehow, even if God doesn't see them through, as we read several weeks ago at this point, they will martyr themselves
yeah.
before they will capitulate.
No, I get the importance of it.
Okay. So meanwhile, Esther put aside her jewels and rich dresses, which she had, you know, been required to wear as
yeah.
the queen. She loosened her hair, she fasted, and she prayed that she might be successful on her dangerous errand. And on the third day, she went into the inner court. She took her two maids, upon one of whom, according to court etiquette, she leaned. I don't know why that was important, but
okay.
apparently court etiquette requires you to lean.
Do the lean.
And the other one carried her train.
Okay.
Not her choo-choo train.
Right. Like her
heavy dress
yeah.
trailing behind
her. I gotcha.
Yeah. And as soon as she came abreast with the idols at the door of the palace.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost departed from her, and she exclaimed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Wait, the Holy Ghost? Hold on.
What?
I haven't even been, have they even introduced the Holy Ghost
no.
yet? Like, what, is this a Jewish thing?
I
thought it was a Catholic thing.
Well, these were summarized from various Midrash.
So it must be, so it is a Jewish, I guess that is something... Okay,
I'm
confused.
Know. I don't know enough about Holy Ghosts and fathers and sons
right.
to know
yeah.
what belongs to...
But that threw me, the wording threw me off there.
Yeah.
Like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I am curious to know how that Holy Ghost... I am curious once we get into more, you know, the New Testament and stuff,
mm-hmm.
how Holy Ghosts and stuff like that relate to Judaism and stuff.
Right. Well, so. I'm curious about this... my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Right.
Which is a Jesus Christ thing, not yeah. an Esther thing.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
It is. It mm-hmm. is.
So thereupon, she was accompanied by three angels to the king.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
So three angels came down and walked her in.
That's nice of them.
Wasn't that?
Yeah. Apparently they didn't have anything else going on.
Like I've said all the time, God damn it. Why can't there just be God and help? And this is bullshit. And no angels ever.
Ever. No.
Ever came down and helped me.
No. Never seen a fucking angel.
Granted, I'm not a queen.
Goddamn lazy.
Except for
angels.
In my own life, I am my own queen. So, okay. Remember how the king was Xerxes, but he was also Aesaurus Rex?
Yes.
Yeah. So Aesaurus attempted to ignore her and turned his face away. But guess what?
What?
Guess what?
He couldn't do it.
An angel forced him to fucking look at her beauty.
I see.
She, however, fainted at the sight of his flushed face and burning eyes. And she leaned her head on her handmaid, expecting to hear her doom pronounced, you know, because she's gone in.
Right.
Uncalled for, right? Like she had not been summoned and she went.
Yeah.
And so she sees his face all red and whatever from the angel turning his face. And she's like, ah, shit, I'm about to get killed. He's about to.
This sounds like a very convenient rewrite of what's going on here. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, like, you know. Because this isn't how it was portrayed in the Old Testament.
So. No. I'll get into that in a minute.
Okay.
But God increased her beauty to such an extent that Aesaurus could not resist.
She was already like heads and tails the most beautiful.
Heads and tails.
Right.
Dead ass dough.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Then we're not done with the ridiculous.
Not done with the
ridiculous. Ready?
Go figure.
This is my favorite.
Okay.
An angel lengthened the scepter so that Esther might touch it.
Well, it's a good thing because she only got the tip, so it must have been just right.
The tip.
That tip was lengthened just right.
It almost sounds like his penis grew three sizes that day, just like the Grinch's heart. Right?
Right.
And the scepter. Oh, it stretched out and she touched just the tip.
But why was he, I mean, if he didn't want her to be there, why was he even like, you know, holding it to her in any way?
He always holds the scepter and the angel made it grow to her hand.
So if your life depended on it, wouldn't you just jump for it? Like, fuck this shit. I'm touching that goddamn scepter.
I touched the scepter. Ticka, 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 ticka. I tickled the head of the scepter.
Oh my God.
Ticka, 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 ticka. What?
My wife.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she invited the king to her banquet.
Ah. Okay. Yeah.
Haman was invited as well.
Yep.
As we know, there were questions by many as to why. Why? Why would she invite him too?
Right.
So here is one of the
Why were the questions though?
Remember, I'm reading a conglomeration of various
stories
from various midrashim.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. And many researchers are like, why would she invite Haman?
And probably because she's Jewish. Why?
Right.
Okay. So in the moment, I could see.
Yeah. Why?
In this fictional story, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Right. But, okay.
Why? Okay.
Yeah.
So, oh shit, I lost my place.
Fuck, okay. I hate it when that happens. Man.
I know you were biting your nails waiting to find out.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Here was one of the suggested theories.
Okay.
Okay. She desired to make the king jealous by playing the lover to Haman.
What?
Which she did at the feast, planning to have him killed, even though she should share his fate. Even knowing she's probably going to die.
Yeah.
She wanted to make the king jealous.
Okay. I actually kind of get that plan. So like if you can get yourself and him killed, right? The Jewish people live. Maybe.
Right. Maybe.
Because he was in charge of like, you know, killing all the Jewish people.
That is true.
So.
Right.
That could be a valid plan maybe.
Okay. But at the right moment, the supreme moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When she denounced Haman, it was an angel that threw Haman on the couch. Haman had just intended to kneel before the queen.
Yeah.
Remember?
Okay.
But the angel shoved his ass.
Oh.
And so, you know, his face fell like right in her crotch or something.
I don't know.
I made that part up.
Sure. Yeah.
But anyway, the angel shoved him onto the couch.
Okay.
I just like to imagine that his face fell in her crotch.
Right. That's more fun.
That is very fun.
Yeah.
And so the king, suspecting an attempt upon the virtue and life of his queen, forthwith ordered him to be hanged. Because let me ask you this. You're the king, right? You walk in and you see this guy
Yeah.
And he just fell right in your wife's crotch.
Yeah, that's not good.
Man. And your wife is like, oh my, no, get out of, ooh. No, I mustn't. Get out of there, you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You rapscallion. Mm-hmm. Yes.
These angels are awfully
meddlesome. Meddlesome, yes. Okay, so that's the end of that story, because to go further would take us into the last two chapters, which we haven't read yet.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but do you recall now the story of Esther?
Yes.
With and without all of the editions?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. So the Septuagint edition, which that's the Greek edition.
Yes.
Okay. Of Esther. We're done with that story. We're moving on to
the next thing.
I'm doing my book report now.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. So the Greek edition of Esther contains 107 verses that are not found in the Hebrew Bible.
Interesting. Okay.
These interpretations survive only in the Greek texts.
Yeah.
Because the Hebrew Bible's version of Esther's story contains neither prayers nor even a single reference to God, Greek redactors, which is another word for editors, apparently felt compelled to give the tale a more explicit religious orientation, alluding to God or the Lord 50 times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they added some shit.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of places in the Bible where it feels like they just kind of shove God in there. Like God.
They didn't shove it into the book of Esther,
right.
Except for in these Greek translations that didn't make it into the Hebrew Bible.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
These additions to Esther and the Apocrypha were added approximately in the 2nd or 1st century BCE.
Ah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Now, given the great historical link between Persian and Jewish history, modern day Persian Jews refer to themselves as Esther's children.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
A building venerated as being the tomb of Esther and Mordecai is located in Iran.
Okay.
Although the village of Kfar Baran in northern Israel also claims to be the burial place of Queen Esther.
Hmm. The Iran one sounds more likely, though, because this was a Persian king.
Yeah.
That she was married to, so, I mean, just saying.
Yeah. So, remember I told you about the star?
Yeah.
Her name, right?
Right.
She is said to be named after Ishtar. Are you familiar with Ishtar?
Off the top of my head,
no. Gilgamesh.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, her name, Esther, was given that by star worshippers. So her story and her name come from that whole old story of Ishtar.
Okay.
And she comes from that.
Got it. Her name originates from that.
Yes.
Got it.
And the word myrtle is supposed to be like a beautiful plant.
Right.
That her name, Hadassah.
Okay.
That's her original name.
Yeah.
And Hadassah means myrtle.
Got it.
And that is the story of Esther the End.
That is the story of Esther the End.
Yes.
Okay.
Now I am done.
All right.
Sorry, I was so taken by the story that when I got to the other stuff, I was like, and this. Okay, bye.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, thank you guys for being patient while we got this episode out and while we were moving. And we will be back probably tomorrow with Esther
chapter nine.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see you guys then.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.